Let's just talk about where we have been since the last time that we were on the Struzzi Scoop, which was the governor's presentation of the budget. Mm-hmm. And we went into 3 weeks of budget hearings where you focused on a couple of different things. But how did that go?
3 weeks of hearings is a rigorous attempt on our part to try and understand what the governor's proposal represents. We learned a lot of things, really. And some of it has us scratching our heads, quite frankly. There are some agencies that, while we don't support the overall increase in spending of $53.2 billion, knowing our revenues are going to fall vastly short of that by about $6 billion, there are some things that probably should be funded to boost Pennsylvania's economy and to keep our community safe. The governor is underfunding the Department of Community and Economic Development by 46%, more than $200 million. He's not meeting the needs of the Attorney General and their request for additional funds to conduct law enforcement activities, stop human trafficking, stop fraud across Pennsylvania, and even the court system requested more money to prosecute criminals. So it has us scratching our heads a bit to understand how the governor came up with this budget proposal, still increasing by more than $6 billion beyond our revenues, more than $2 billion from his spending proposal last go-round, $2.7 billion to be exact, and still leaving many gaps that will most likely need to be filled as part of this negotiation process. So while we're looking at some serious concerns with the budget versus revenue shortfalls, it's even more dramatic than I think people realize when you go through the lines and see how these agencies have these needs to provide for our communities, and those are not being met.
Yeah, one of the things that sticks out in my mind was the Department of State, where their budget for voter registration significantly increased. It was mm-hmm. not part of the department's proposal, but the governor wants to spend more money, more taxpayer dollars, on getting people to vote in this election. It's very strange, huh?
It certainly is, Charlie. I'm not sure how much you want me to say during the podcast, but it is an election year, and an election year for a new governor. So I find that quite compelling as well.
So let's talk a little bit about affordability. Obviously, this budget is not affordable for Pennsylvania right. taxpayers, but generally speaking, one of the themes that came up over and over and over again is how can we make Pennsylvania more affordable for everybody.
Right.
And what did you kind of discover in that? What were your ideas about affordability as we're looking at this budget?
Well, I think the main thing we can do is to continue what we have as a Republican caucus in pushing our energy economy, getting back to creating baseload energy for Pennsylvania residents, for the entire grid, for the PJM as well. But energy is the basis of affordability for everything. If you have high energy costs, it's going to cost more to heat your home. It's going to cost more to get products to market, to create products and services, to power our schools, our hospitals. Everything is going to be more expensive when energy is more expensive. So what we need to do in Pennsylvania, and we took a significant step in last year's budget by getting rid of the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative to allow that baseload production to come back, is allow that industry to come back to Pennsylvania, all those trade jobs that come with it, all those families that left Pennsylvania over the past 6 years since the Greenhouse Gas Initiative was proposed by the previous administration and carried forward by the Shapiro administration. We feel that that's the biggest step we can take in moving forward to generate those revenues we need, because we do know we have some obligations, particularly in the realm of human services, that will need to be addressed in this budget. Now, we're only a few months into the current year budget, and we didn't pass it until November. So the impacts, the positive impacts of the changes that we made to get rid of Reggie, permitting reform, haven't yet quite taken hold. So I think you're going to see those revenues continue to increase in Pennsylvania. So it's going to take us a little time, but we'll get those revenues spurring again if we continue down the path of allowing energy production to come back to Pennsylvania, and we continue those regulatory reforms to streamline processes to make it easier for businesses to grow and come back to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I noticed, you know, sustainable economic growth is a big part of how we're going to grow our economy, but also how you're going to close that $6 billion gap that you talked about. And some of the things that were coming up consistently during the budget hearings: stronger private sector investment, regulatory reform, fraud prevention, long-term fiscal realism within
right.
the proposals the governor is making, and a well-trained workforce, you know, expanding those career and technical education opportunities.
Absolutely.
So really kind of hitting not just one agency, but multiple agencies with that, and spreading that vision across. Do you think that is something that the administration was able to learn during those 3 weeks about where House Republicans stand?
Well, I think we made ourselves quite clear that, number one, you need to have realistic projections on spending, and the governor's current budget proposal does not do that. We know year after year since Governor Shapiro took office, spending has increased dramatically. He's drained down our reserves. This year, proposing to drain down our budget stabilization fund or the rainy day fund, yet his outlying year projections show no increases in spending, which is completely untrue. Because his pattern has shown billions of dollars in increased spending year after year, yet he's trying to tell us, well, we're going to drain the rainy day fund, the budget this year, but then we won't need it next year. And I think anyone that has seen past precedent knows that is not going to be the case with this administration. So to tell the people of Pennsylvania, we're going to drain all your reserves, all your savings right now, but we won't need any more in the future, is simply, I think, misleading to the people of Pennsylvania. And ultimately, what will happen when they come back with another spending proposal next year that's even more, and you have more obligations, where is that money going to come from? That's the question that I don't think they can answer. I don't think they want to answer, because ultimately it's going to fall on the taxpayers. And that is what we, as House Republicans and our colleagues in the Senate, are trying to prevent. We do not want to see this burden passed on to the taxpayers of Pennsylvania by continuing this excessive spending.
A couple other things that came up during the budget hearings were the governor's proposals on marijuana legalization and taxation and skill games. Are you at all convinced after the budget hearings that these are realistic projections that the governor has, and that the plan he has will result in more revenues for the state?
I don't believe the numbers that they are putting out there for legalizing recreational marijuana. Most industry experts say that's going to be, if it does move forward the way they're proposing, it'll be upfront fees for the bulk of the projected revenue that they're talking about. And then minimal, I think, tax dollars coming in from that. But from what I've heard from other states and even the adjacent states that the other side continues to point to and say, well, they've legalized it, we should legalize it too, are increasing social costs because of all the problems that come with legalizing recreational marijuana. And I think that's something that they really don't want to talk about. But if during the hearing with DDAP and the Secretary of Health, I believe that did come up. And they said, we're probably going to have increased costs because of the legalization of recreational marijuana, because we're going to need to provide more services for people who are struggling with addiction, social issues, child abuse issues, workforce issues for people who can't pass a CDL or a drug test to even go to work. All these things need to be accounted for before we move, I would say, somewhat recklessly down the path of legalizing a drug.
Well, and I thought I was telling, PSP's position was neutral.
Yes.
They did not come out and say, oh, you know, we think it's fine, we're not concerned about it. It was mm-hmm. neutral. And they do not plan on changing their drug standards for recruits. So, again, you know, weed may be legal if the governor gets his way, but that doesn't mean that, you know, you can smoke marijuana or use marijuana without consequences. You still are going to have jobs that test and things like that. So this isn't just going to be everything's fine, you know.
Right.
One other interesting point, minimum wage was brought up as part of this budget. It was viewed as a revenue generator, which has been a discussion over the years, and the number of folks who are making minimum wage is very, very low. But Secretary Arcush kind of weighed into the conversation from the Department of Human Services. What did she have to say?
Well, she basically said the increase in minimum wage isn't needed because the market is already dictating wages in the healthcare sector. And I think you're seeing that in a lot of other sectors as well. And I can tell you that people, especially small business owners, are very concerned with the increase in minimum wage, because what they're not talking about, again, is the people that are already making more than minimum wage. Their salaries are going to go up as well. And then what will happen is either someone's going to lose their job because these smaller businesses can't afford to pay everyone, or they're going to pass that on to the consumers. And at a time when families are struggling to make ends meet right now as it is, I think the last thing you want to see are the cost of consumer products increase.
Yep, absolutely. And I think another, to kind of sum up the hearings in general, one of the things that was talked about was that, you know, Pennsylvanians deserve a government that is transparent, responsive, and accountable.
Right.
And if those three things are not being met, then they need to be forced to be met through the budget process. And that's what you were able to do in those 3 weeks, was really make those agencies stand to account for the money that they're spending and the money that they propose to spend. And lots of representatives were able to talk with agency heads to resolve issues, to make them aware of issues, and become aware of things themselves maybe they weren't aware of.
Right.
So it was a very informative process where a lot of information was shared both with the agencies and from the agencies.
And that is the ultimate goal of having those budget hearings, of digging deeper into what the governor is proposing, and getting behind the numbers, but also understanding what these agencies are trying to do, and how they're going to utilize taxpayer dollars. And for me, ultimately, it gets back to, what are we doing for the people of Pennsylvania? Is the budget that we pass going to help Pennsylvania move forward? Is it going to grow our economy? Is it going to make our community safer? Is it going to ensure a better future for our families in this Commonwealth? And that is ultimately where we need to get to through this budget process. We just started the process. We wrapped up the budget hearings in mid-March. Here we are at the end of April. The budget has been passed on pretty much a partisan vote in the House. Then I would say not the budget, but the House bill that contains the governor's spending plan. That has gone to the Senate now, along with a number of the housekeeping bills. So this, in earnest, will really begin our negotiation process, because now we know where House Democrats are. We know where the governor is. Now we're going to work with our colleagues in the Senate to basically establish our priorities, and our priorities will be to benefit working families, to grow our energy economy, to streamline permitting, to make sure that every student has a chance at a great education here in this Commonwealth, no matter where they live, and to make sure that when we do a budget, it is fiscally responsible with taxpayer dollars moving forward, not spending everything we have and ultimately leading to a financial cliff for the Commonwealth.
Sure. And so as we're looking at, you know, we're in May right now, we're looking at what's the latest action on the budget. It was passed out of the House largely on a party line vote. The Senate now has that. They can amend that and send that back. So this is kind of where the magic happens. We have to negotiate on some type of product that will hopefully be agreed to. Interesting that the House Democrats decided not to offer their own proposal.
Right.
They've decided to just, you know, accept the governor's, and that's what they passed.
And ultimately, that is what the governor presented in February during his budget address. That was the line-by-line general appropriations bill that was moved to the Senate. So as you said, it is the $53.2 billion spending plan that the governor put forward without any language on how we're going to pay for it.
Sure. So what's your prediction? Are we going to get this thing done by June 30th?
Well, I think that's ultimately our goal. I'm always hopeful, and I know that at least from a House Republican standpoint, we are willing to work together to get that done and again, deliver a budget that is good for Pennsylvania, both now and in the future.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for your time today, and I'm sure that we're going to get back together as May turns into June, and it gets even a little bit hotter in here, both under the dome and in the state of Pennsylvania. Thanks for tuning in for this episode of the Struzzi Scoop.